Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
way. Good evening, good evening, and good evening, everyone. We're here to get another update special as we, again, sort out shit from Shinola. And believe me, there's been more than a lot of shit to go around. I'm your host, Michael Wilson, and DJ Andy Cole. And as always, it's good to have you in the house. So true AM and the Raw. Proudly sponsored by BASMism.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. Who, what, where, sometimes how, why, and all the other stuff that we throw in there. And y'all know we got it. Mm-hmm. And we came about it. It made us a little different as it's sitting so far. I'll get into that later. As of course, well, just knows it on this special. And those of the legal assassins perform the Brother Man Network. Shout out to all of them. Excuse me, my voice is talking serious here. And hopefully you'll indulge me. It's Radio Reggie. There's a friend with it. Got a friend of my Yoba and others. And come back to the cover. Me, I'm still trying to deal. This shit is kicking my ass. And I ain't gonna joke with it. But we'll do what we always do. That's all we have done. Anyway. There's sometimes when someone leaves something that's so obvious that you gotta say to yourself, I can't believe it. Now, in our country, that usually has something to do with money. And that's something to do with stupidity. But to combine the two, and we will say that tonight's episode is brought to you by the letter F for scumbaggery. But our roots for the story don't start anywhere we normally think it would start. We got to go to Hot Time, Mississippi, and the poorest state in the Union. And when I say Poe, I mean Poe.
Poe.
I mean Poe. I mean, spend the R and A-O, Poe. That's Poe. And Mississippi is no doubt one of the poor states. Men, dinosaurs graze in the background. But this is about more than just largesse. This is about out-and-out stupidity.
Michael, what made me mad about this?
Yeah.
Is the governor of Mississippi, or former governor of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And Brett Barb are not in jail. They should be in jail right now. Again. Because of the privilege card, they're allowing Brett Favre to pay the money back. Now I'm thinking, ready to say, what the hell is there to say you do it? He should be in jail.
Well, actually, he should have been in jail twice. given anything. He reported this story about 4 years ago.
Yes.
Every now and then, we see a story that kind of slides away from the mainstream, and we forget. I don't know if forget's the right word. You don't pay enough attention to it. And this story came up a few years ago. And the deal with Brett Favre and one of his kids and my son Paul couldn't do nothing. Do you know what a favorite son is? Your favorite son is a character who lives in state, who is given a certain status because he identifies with the state. He helps the state identify with being where they are. And Brett Favre, we know he was the son of this, was quarterback, all that stuff. However, he was getting away with the worst case of fraud I could imagine. Yeah, what some states call make work.
Yes.
Jobs created. Just a little bit.
We talked about this a long time ago. We discussed this.
We did
on
do this.
On your show.
I know, we did do this. And before we go any further, I got Reggie. Reggie, can you hear me?
First of all, brother, how you feeling?
I'm hanging in there, brother.
This
is just too juicy to let go.
Well, like I say, prayers from the ancestors go out to you for your health and welfare, brother. So I want to make sure we send love, peace, and blessing, and prayers to you for your health.
Yes. Now, Joe Biden had already promised every state money, and they got it. They promised various ways, but there's no question everybody's going to get some. Because everybody was going to get some.
No, my issue is that you can send all the money you want to the states, but once the local government gets it, you don't know what they're going to do to disperse it. That's the problem. Case in point, up there in Flint, Michigan, they've been had money to take care of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But what did they do? They diverted the money to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing in Mississippi. They've been had money to take care of that water problem.
Yeah.
But they've been diverting the money to their buddies.
Republicans have been doing that. Republicans have been doing that for decades. Nothing new here. But it wasn't so much what they did, Gene. It was the way they did it. Now, every state has a slush fund. And Mississippi was creating a slush fund for its own people. Now, if you were going to get on some sort of stipend like food stamps or whatever, you file your paperwork and you hope that you're in there. But they decided no. Mississippians were turned down for more effects, more benefits than any other state. So I'm not surprised then. Some folks didn't get what they expected.
Yeah.
in Mississippi Harbor. Frog concluded that because he was who he was, this was a white privilege card that allowed him X amount of funds available. He was offered over $100,000 on three exchanges to speak on anything. Just speak. And they would give him the money. Now, he didn't turn the money down. The money was paid. And it sat there for months. Now, probably because he is so embarrassed at the possibility of getting paid, then he tried to soft soap it. He let it go. He paid the money out. He said, thank you, but no thank you. Now, this was also during the time when he was being courted by the New York Jets and he's playing for them. He was accusing a woman, Jen Sturger, trying to get some. He tried to get some, and ultimately what happened was he just kept going, despite the fact that the father was enraged at the prospect of trying to get over. And he went after the legal fury. The league is pissed. The guy, Jen Sturger, and her father were totally annoyed by what they didn't do. They let it go. And now, according to Mississippi Today, everyone in Mississippi realizes that this was a make-work project. A make-work project where there was no bankroll. There was no specific person to give money to. It was all set up and laid out and ready for who it was to take it. And they refused. They didn't take it because they realized that somehow they were going to get caught. This one didn't get caught. It's not going to get caught with the money. This is cold busted. There's no other way you can say it. They were cold busted. And there's nothing that anyone can say that would give you any indication. Oops. We made a mistake. Or oops. Our error.
They were wrong.
Some of the scumbaggery was funds allocated for a volleyball gym for the team. And for his daughter, of course, played volleyball in front of this. So now you got a shitload of scam on you. They can't say they don't know everything about this is in their face. What do you do? What do you do? There's nobody left to say. All right. You got me. They can't even say that. This is beyond God. I gotta wonder, is that being Professor Fred in the podium? Fred, how you know we seen Poe? How you know we spent Poe?
Somebody cut your throat? How you doing?
I'm good. But how the hell are you able to just say, I'm sorry, I got caught, I'll go to jail? Because that's about as obvious as this is, and nobody is admitting to anything.
Oh, man.
What's
I can't understand that. I can't understand what you're saying.
I said, what can you say when you know doggone well you got caught? Just say I got caught and be done with it. No one's saying anything, but that's really what should be said.
Michael, the media, okay, all right. Brett Barb knew he was doing wrong. When his daughter went to high school, right?
Yeah.
And they wanted to build a volleyball court. Okay, fine. But why are you thinking public funds to do this? See, that's wrong. And the media, once again, the media is like, oh, well, it's too bad. No, this guy should be in jail.
I am pushing that.
Well, Mike, the part of the problem is, first of all, you got to remember the knee-jerk crackers you're dealing with. These are the same people who say black folks shouldn't have schools. These are the same people who said, you name it, and it was bad. They said it or did it back in the day. All they did was move themselves forward to a point where, okay, the guy that played for Green Bay, he's close to 50, roughly 50 now. Okay. Well, he quote unquote grew up on the edge of the periphery of the, you know, Mississippi burning and all that stuff.
Right.
But they cut out some of the more overt scenes, but at the same time, though, some of the rest of it stuff they kept in the mentality mindset they had back then, they still got.
Right.
We saw that with the situation with a young man who was running through his own neighborhood and get shot by
these
three criminals. And it doesn't he's from Mississippi. It don't matter. He's from the new United States of America. And you run into that same kind of stuff. You see most other places they got systems to let the police do the shooting. But some of these people get all full of themselves and they go out and step outside of their realm and show that they're good old boys. They got shotguns and rifles and stuff. And, you know, they take care of their, they take care of their own situation. And in the process, fortunately so far, enough of them keep getting caught and get, and you know, and they're still getting sent to jail in small quantities and get doing small quantities of time, but they're still getting, you know, they're still getting out there and getting caught. Well, if you got millions of dollars, why are you asking me, and I know the answer to this already, but why are you asking the government to fund something for your daughter's school? Why aren't you going to your daughter's school and having the fans, whoever they may be, let them fund that, the way they do football and basketball and all this other stuff? You know, in all this talk they're talking about, a few weeks ago we had AMU coming up to play University of North Carolina. What a great thing it was, what a big deal it was, right?
Okay, exactly.
they got in round numbers, they got $500,000, out of which they had to move the band, they had to move the football team. They flew the football team. The band traveled 13 hours on buses. After 13-plus hours from Tallahassee to Chapel Hill, they stayed one night in the hotel, and after the game Saturday night, they drove back to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Okay. Take extend that scenario. They got $500,000, out of which they had to cover expenses. The football team didn't go back on the stand until Sunday morning or sometimes Sunday afternoon. Okay. Cool. It's a weekend. Labor Day weekend. When it's all said and done, they ended up with a whole lot of money, it looked like, but then after expenses, they didn't have all that much. They could have put a game together, playing somebody else either in the MEAC. Just throw out a name, A&T, even though they done lost their damn mind. Central could have played them. There's several other schools they could have played. Well, you know, why you got to go halfway across the country or down the country to get somebody to play? And you, Carolina. And see, the thing that nobody's talking about, you had University of North Carolina lowered itself to go play at App State. I think they got like a 35,000-seat stadium maybe. It may be bigger than that, but it shouldn't be much because they're still in that surprise from Michigan scenario. And then, you know, NC State, because they're not Carolina, they have gone to Greenville before. Greenville has, I think their stadium is 45 plus. Either way, you know, the Carolina don't go and play. They wouldn't go play Winston State in Winston-Salem, and they play, and Winston would play them in all likelihood in the steam facility that Wake Forest plays Carolina in. And remember,
right,
Wake Forest is not, you know, enrollment wise, Wake Forest is not as big as Winston-Salem State. I mean, they got millions of dollars in endowment and whatnot, but it's just pure numerical enrollment. Winston is bigger, but you know, we live in a country now where nobody knows where the lions are anymore, and because we have politicians and other people, they use the term irrefutable. Well, you can refute anything you want to, and they do that, And they do it sarcastically.
They
yes,
do
it
they do.
Knowing better than what they're saying, but then they still go out and do that and expect people to follow them.
The most egregious issue of this is the fact that the state set money up for FAR to succeed. I mean, they were giving the money to say, all right, man, this is yours. You can do with this what you want. And on top of all that, is endorsed by Biden. This is make-work money. How often have we seen somebody in a union state that's funds to do a roads project? The money may come not exactly from a specific county, but the money is earmarked for that. And they'll say, okay, enough of that. We know that money belongs to Cumberland County, so we roll with that. Nobody touches it. And that's what we have here. I don't know how much money Brett Favre was entitled to, but we started with a $75 million slush fund. $75 million in slush funds. That's embarrassing.
Well, Mike, in Mississippi, they got money, monies from the state as well as from the federal government to deal with some welfare situations, right?
Yep.
So they took care of the welfare of this millionaire football player's daughter in her school. No poor got fed, no poor got clothed. Nobody's house got fixed except the facility for his daughter and her friends and other peers, similar peers, to go out and play volleyball.
Right.
So they don't have to play volleyball outside. They don't have to play volleyball in a hot building. He did get the money. He did pay the money back after he got caught.
After he got caught, that's just it. Oops. Yes. No, so you stole somewhere between cashing a check. That, oh, by the way, they found out about you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll return it. It's no big deal.
So they invoke the oops, my bad law.
Yep, the oops, my bad law is in effect.
So when did this stop?
Gary?
It didn't stop.
This does not stop. And you know, you can blame this and say, well, you know, that's some Republicans. Okay, this time that's might be who it was.
Yeah.
But the one point of agreement most Democrats and Republicans totally agree on is not what's on top of the table; it's what's passed under it.
Yeah.
You know, we have used the term keys to the country club numerous times.
Yeah.
Keys to the country club means that the country club where the former governor, who's on investigation now for helping to fund this venture with one Brett Favre, he's being investigated because there's a number of improprieties that's already been found because it was so obvious. But you know, they don't care because they figure, one, we ain't gonna get caught, and if we do, ain't gonna be nothing. You know, I'll lure you up, and by the time this should be going to trial, that judge will be gone, you will be gone, and hey, I'll go scot free.
Problem solved. Yes. We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for something so obvious. Something so obvious that even they may have to say, okay, I'm sorry, you're caught. What you did was wrong. We know what you did was wrong. It's beyond, oops, my bad. Turn the money in, turn your ass in, and go directly to jail.
Yeah.
But even here,
yeah,
despite the fact of how obvious it was, did they refuse to point the blame in the right direction, and that justice take care of itself? All they worry about is the issue. We have a fair place for unexpressed space. We got Eric Sandler with Eric.
What's happening, Mike?
What's up, brother?
What's happening? Greetings to the brothers out there.
How badly can you say I fucked up? I mean,
well, you know,
beyond that fucked up. This is like, it got me. Just.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's always the layers that goes there. There's also was the, some of that money was funneled to the Marcus Dupree Youth Recreational Fund, right? Marcus Dupree hasn't been relevant to,
right,
you know, forever, ever. But he's from Mississippi, right? And he was also from money, you know. He's from that Mississippi town where, you know, the three Civil War workers were, right? Civil rights workers were killed, whatever the name of that city was.
Cheney,
you know, and, Cheney and that crew, and rest in peace for that horror story. And the sheriff, son, the sheriff at the time, who also hoodwinked the case, became the sheriff under the Marcus Dupree, you know, realm as an adult, right? I think they went to high school together, played on the same football team, right?
Right.
So sometimes, well, not even sometimes, sometimes they've had the yoke on their favorite jig is forever, you know? And you wonder why things don't kind of pan out. And when they found out that he, I don't know, they had like 600K or so, I don't remember the number, so this is pure just raw guesstimation, funneled to that so-called youth football fund, which, you know, Marcus Green picked up a football and worked with any football youth, you know, since he was a Boy Scout, but they used the name because he went to Southern Mississippi. Then, you know, when they rolled up on his ranch or his spot, because maybe, you know, they ended up buying him a property with some of that money, you know, he threatened to blow away anybody who crossed the perimeter or something to that effect, you know. So, you know, with Favre, I mean, you know, that Southern Mississippi volleyball complex looks like a plantation, right? You know, you look how it's set up and designed. Looks like a plantation house. And it does, right? It doesn't look like a gymnasium. It doesn't look like an arena. It doesn't look like a forum, you know, whatever else you want to call these things these days, or complex, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, you know, I mean, basically the money that got, you know, so-called paid back probably came from the same slush fund, but the same thing happened where these people in the state, you know, who are on the poverty side, they considered to be under that yoke in that state. And then we have stories where, you know, in Jackson, Mississippi, where Jackson State University is located, you know, prominently in the sports spectrum for college football, there's no water, right? You know, they're dealing with, you know, a scenario similar to what took place in Flint, Michigan, right? You think some of that money could have been earmarked for water in Jackson, Mississippi?
Come on.
And no, of course not. And so they're under the yoke, and then it's all hush, hush, quiet, and there's nothing to be said about these things. So, I mean, I heard the professor respond to Gary Witness, and it doesn't end. It doesn't. It's going on in other ways right now, you know, because the system that people continue to support or say get in line for is beyond the level of corruption. It just is. And you have to find who's the least corrupt person to do certain things because they get compromised as they go in, you know, and to trust that, I mean, is the verdict in? I mean, is the verdict in? I mean, I think the verdict's been in on what this process has continued to unfold, overwhelmingly so. And yet you still have this, you know, pie in the sky, kumbaya, everything's going to be all right. Each 4 years or 6 years or whatever you think the process is. And here we say, okay, what's allegedly progressive, you have the people at the bottom rung of Mississippi, which is the K-system society, and akin to India, right? You know, akin to India, called, you know, in Mississippi, and all this tragic thing. I mean, you know, Nina Simone is still saying Mississippi, goddamn. You know, still, that song. I mean, this is just an ongoing saga of the same old, same old. I mean, Fannie Hamer also state of Mississippi fame. Risked all that, took all that shit on, all those beatings and humiliations and, you know, famously known for saying, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's the state mantra for the state of Mississippi. You know, it's a hellhole. You know, it's a fucking hellhole.
Mississippi, after the Civil War, had more African-Americans than white people, right?
It was still a predominantly black state.
But they continue to play games. And we have to take charge. Okay, you wanna do this? We need to start
the devastation to how you flip the script. When so many years were spent for miseducation of the Negro,
right,
and especially in a state like Mississippi, when you look at the birth rate, the education system there, I mean, you know, it rivals a fifth world country. You can't flip that shit in 20 years. You know, 40 years, things was totally destroyed. And everyone suffered from that, even, you know, so-called Caucasoids. So that's one of the dumbest-ass fucking states anywhere. Whenever you spend that much time neutralizing so-called education, you know, everyone suffers. We see with Brett Favre. That, he's a dumb fuck. What is smart about that? He's a dumb fuck in any other language. And he went to the University of South Mississippi. He's back there. He can't survive nowhere else. That motherfucker's a dumb fuck. You know, every decision he made was pure dumb fuckery. You know, and that's what you see. I mean, Jerry Rice was still picking cotton. You know? Shit, before he went off to college. There's things that happen within the realm of that state that's third world dirty. And then they have what the show called P-Valley.
That's right.
Out of Mississippi, of course. Out of Mississippi. Where the whole focus is the P in the valley. The Mississippi Valley, the Delta. Shit, you know? Ignorance personified by 1,000. And they sit back and laugh at this poor-ass enculturalization. You know, Mississippi is the kind of place where, you know, you can have a house. I think they did some shit on Ray Guy, who's a Mississippi boy, right?
Yeah.
And he had some situation where they went to his high school. I mean, his I think where he grew up. His fucking house is just in the middle
that's
of nowhere.
Still
standing and shit, right? I mean, Marcus Dupree lived in a house for like 20 years, and he can go in there and get his old scrapbooks and shit. It's such a it's the most densely populated state in the United States. So you have a lot of celebrities who go there who set up big, you know, wide swaths of property because it's a beautiful state. It's in the South, right? And just have acreage galore because it's so isolated and distant from certain areas. I mean, you can drive 30 miles and shit on a, I remember I was working with some woman there who years ago and was in real estate and told me, like, well, Eric, sometimes, you know, my deals are like, you know, 75 miles apart in the same county. You know, like, you just ain't zipping around. So there's still a lot of acreage there and wide open spaces. And so it's not the most densely populated state, but where it is densely populated, it's corrupt as fuck. And the history of all that blood of our ancestors in that soil there, which is oversaturated, that soil, you know? If you're like me, I go to the South, man, I pick up that energy when I go in these little rural streets, you know what I mean? I had to ask people sometimes, well, have you ever taken a drive through, you know, wherever you may be in the South, and you get on a long stretch, or you may be on a two-lane street, you know, going in opposite directions, and it's kind of like, you know, rural areas. I said, do you ever pick up the energy like it's some fuckery that took place here? I pick it up all the time. You know, that energy's thick. I'm like, shit, everyone's down here is fronting. Because they can't act like all that historical stuff took place isn't still alive energy there. I feel it every time I go down there. And I had to say, how about you? People start saying, yeah, nah, I know what you mean by that. It's like an area, like an interesting energy. Similar when people go to, like, you know, Gori Island, right, when they go over to Africa.
Yeah.
Right? Right? People start crying and shit. You know, they just roll up to the spot. They just had lunch, feeling really good. Then they go to Gori Island. They break out in full-ass tears. I feel it in those areas down there. You know, so that's a fucking place like Mississippi. You know, I mean, shit. I mean, the educational system was so gutted. Everyone got effed over. People are playing off like the history never happened, which is the ultimate bullshit. Like, how can you play that off? I look at it, I'm like, everyone down here is living an effing lie. Oh, things are better. How can it be? The surface level, okay, integration, you know, go to the movies. But, I mean, but the energy still exists.
That's right.
And we see that manifest with farming. The fuck these people here and these kids on welfare, on the state program, shit. You know, we know they live in shacks and shit. That's still got some running water places. A city like Jackson is still can't even get water. Running friggin' water. All the technology and shit so effed up. Maybe those funds were rerouted. So Brett Favre and shit, you know what I mean, you know, can, you know, continue to do whatever the bullshit he does. Put it directly in his pocket. He paid it back. He can never pay back that. His reputation is tanked. His legacy is fucked. He'll always be seen as just a usurper of the poor. And so whatever the money is, doesn't matter. He is fucked. His whole thing is over.
That's right.
But the thing of it is, okay, this is the thing.
Yeah.
He gets that money, right? He gets the interest of that money. He doesn't pay back the interest, so he gets that whole thing is driving me crazy because...
Yes, yeah. You know, you never pay it back. You're right.
You pay back the money, but yeah, you didn't pay back the interest.
Well, the way the money is routed is kind of interesting, right? Because it's not coming from, like, a fundraiser, right? So, you know, in other words, if we get together and just decide to do some kind of fundraiser, right? You know, whatever you want to call it, whatever that may be. The concert
right.
and shit, and, you know, so car wash and shit. And we say, you know, everything's cash, right? You know, we're not collecting those debit cards, just cash.
Okay.
It's a cash deal, right? Right? A fundraiser, right? So we get a cash deal, and maybe we get a donation and shit from a corporation, and because they got money in there. you know, their banisters to break you off and shit. So we walk away with 50K. And we go deposit in the bank, you know, for whatever the purpose of it is going to be. All right. But that's a raw, straight up 50K. The money that's coming from state government and financing shit is a whole nother route of the money. You cannot match that money dollar for dollar. That's why these people, when they go to the can and they come out with a bill for all those years they were in the can, the joint, the bean, prison, right? They got to pay that toll for that
right.
time served, this,
oh,
that, and the other. Terrible. They don't walk mm-hmm. away and break that shit off with a lump sum check. That's a state
no.
fund. So these things are itemized a little bit different. So, gee, yeah, you're technically right. So, you know, you don't pay it back. I mean, you know, you came out of your coffers. You basically took the money that you had and gave back the money that you had because you didn't move
yeah.
the money. Or your boys looked out for you because of Mississippi. They all look out for their boy, their good old boy network. So the ones with money going to say, we need to take care of old Brett. You already know that's how it went down. That's who really paid. Brett blew through that fucking money the second he got it. Probably was in a riverboat casino on the Delta and just fucked off that cash.
No doubt. Ain't no doubt. But even with all of that, there's still the intelligence factor, or I should say lack of intelligence
factor. Exactly.
You're told, yes, everything points to you're doing something really egregious here. And everyone is saying, yes, that's true. But nobody will say, I did it. Nobody will hold blame.
Yeah.
That's what makes me so bad. It looks bad. It looks bad. It smells bad.
So if a child needed something
yeah, really.
As simple as formula,
that's
right?
From the state coiffers, right? Yes.
And there was not too long ago, there was the supply chain issues or problems with formula, right? During COVID, right? And all that took place. And so
yeah.
a lot of places went bare. So if some of that money was earmarked, because it's usually allegedly earmarked for children, right? So that money, that's what it really was. It was really ripped off. So that money was earmarked for a child. The odds are quite likely that if anyone, you know, did not get their quote unquote rations, because Brett decided to put in his pocket and shit, you know, and spin the bottle, and children were lost. The odds are likely someone maybe didn't make it, or there was a mother who couldn't. We've seen that during Katrina, right? When everything
yep.
shut the fuck down and people couldn't get their government checks, right? That was a horror story. To see the level of people dependent on that government check. We see this during a riot in South Central LA when all of a sudden the government, they couldn't get their checks because of the post offices in South Central LA refused to deliver mail. You had to go to the post office. And then on the day the eagle flew, when government stipends were being paid, those lines rivaled a Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson return to Disneyland concert shit with all the people who were lining up outside post offices to get
right.
their handout. And when I see the number of people who were connected to the government payouts in those areas there, it was like, wow, to me, right? Because, you know it exists. But when you see the car jam, it's amazing. So the same thing here, you know, in Mississippi, right? You got, you know, people allotted and these food banks were going empty because it's money that could have been there to fund and feed families. Brett Favre had in his pocket. Or Marcus Dupree was building this ranch and she's using his name for a front for more money that he's not connected to. And so any loss of life associated with these guys taking the fun is on them.
Yep.
That's the way the game plays out. It's on you. It's like Lyndon Baines Johnson. You know, all those bodies in the Vietnam War destroyed. he sent truth after truth after truth. That was on him as the leader, as the person who made that decision.
President Eisenhower, old y'all. Eisenhower said, look, you got these people who love war. We're getting ready to do it again.
You know, Kennedy talked about it too, but where Kennedy connects to Mississippi too, which pointed out, there was something that went on there, and he cut off for a few weeks or something, you know, welfare aid for children. Dick Gregory and all his brothers went in on it. You know, that's not the Camelot story, misses that reality. You know, he cut off welfare. And, you know, and all of a sudden, man, forces align against you that you can't stop when you cut off and destroy people who have these obligations. These children, these young people who are living in this shit box legislation, educational realm of Mississippi. You know, I mean, the under-education level there, the health care system, the level of diabetes.
Yeah.
It's horrid. It's the fifth world in Mississippi.
And don't
forget,
on top of everything else, there's the fact that there was another year's worth of funding coming in.
Exactly.
So, how are you going to fix that? But how are you going to ignore another year's worth of funds coming in?
Everyone affiliated, Michael. Yeah, everyone affiliated needs to be gaffled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a uniform, those who don't like the word conspiracy, fuck you. You know, for those who don't like that word. Because here we have one playing out in live color, you know, that's really deal, right? That's all cloak and dagger, right? But because there's so many dumbasses, and there's even in the most dumbest state, you got to audit that money and find out where it goes.
Yep.
To Brett Farr.
That's embarrassing.
It's tragic, man. It's criminal. It's like inane. And it really just shows a person's level of intellect and character. Nothing speaks more to what this person's about as a human on what took place here. It's just, you know, it's so self-evident. Now, you're a football player, so-called Hall of Famer. You made millions of dollars as a, you know, Hall of Famer. John Madden, you know, was decided to, you know, make you a saint every Sunday game he called for you, Brett Favre. And this is what it came down to you for? So he was always that dude.
We're always that fake white heroes. I remember when Brett Favre was playing for the Green Bay Packers, the way he treated his players, you know what he was about.
I can't imagine another quarterback, regardless of who they are in the NFL, you know, we don't know all of them, their personas and personal, but I can, if you name 50 quarterbacks, right now, I don't care if it's Bubby Brister to freaking Mark Rippon to doggone Andre Ware and shit. You know, I mean, all the way to the current tense of quarterback.
Yep.
I can't imagine any of them doing this level of dumb fuckery with a state government.
I can't see
none of them doing that. Regardless of their ethnicity and their back, I cannot even see them even entertaining a conversation along that line. But this guy did, and he was all in. And then I just read a few of his texts. I only could get past one. You know, when he's talking to all the people associated, my God, fuck Don Favre Corleone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking straight like a gangster. In his text about getting that money. I mean, Don Favre, Corleone. I'm like, wow. I mean, straight up gangster. It's documented about his hands all in, and he sure ain't talking like an innocent bystander or careful goes off. He's talking straight up like a shot caller. Like he's calling the shots on that money needs to be moved.
It's crazy.
Professor, what bothers you most about this professor? The fact that it was just my bad and I got away with it? Or somebody's going to give us some more money and they got to figure out how they can clean all this up so you can get paid again? Reggie, are you there?
Professor, Reggie, are you in the mix?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike asked a question. Is this Professor? The Professor?
Yeah, Professor, yeah.
Okay, there it is.
What bothers you most about this Professor? The fact that he got away or that actually somehow next year going to find a way to come around to him and let him get away with this again?
Well, Mike, like I always say, no matter who you're dealing with, you're still dealing with the same bunch of people. Sometimes they're called Republicans. Sometimes they're called Democrats. Sometimes they're called Independents. I call them Country Club. And see, that's the reason I call them Country Club is when the chips are down, you don't get to go to the Country Club.
Right.
You know, you that's why I always said, during the time President Obama was running for office, and then once he won office, you know, Mrs. Clinton already had a key to the Country Club. She white, female, and rich. Married to a man that's white, male, and rich. So he's in. President Obama has to go figure out a way to get in. And, you know, because of the prestige of the perception of him as president, you know, commander-in-chief and all that other stuff, he gets to go into the Country Club.
That's
don't
right.
Have to pay, you know, quote, run a tab and get pulled up at the end of the evening. You know, that's how it goes. And
right.
Because we were talking about these slush funds and stuff. The way you do it is, another way that you do it is, say you got a table that's $2,500. Okay? You pay $2,500 for you, $2,500 for the missus, $2,500 for her sister, and $2,500 for the brother-in-law. Now, it's all for the same table. So what happens is you cover the price of the table, $2,500.
Right.
Now you got $7,500 left over. Oh, do you want it back? Oh, no, just use for whatever you want to use it for. So in essence, their fundraiser, the numbers are going to reflect that they did $2,500. But the slush fund meter is going to say $10,000 because Mr. Colbert and Mr. Ed's, who's paying into the dinner honoring one Mr. Helms. Okay. Mm-hmm. First name is Jesse. Okay. Not only is he paying for the opposing senatorial candidate, You were actually campaigning with him for him. But you are a sitting Democrat county commissioner, and the other was a sitting Democrat women something here. Not sure. Because that $2,500 correction, that $10,000 that the family dropped, that gets audiences where the senator will see you when you want something.
Right. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you paid your way at the table, and you know what happens with people, and like you mentioned about, you know, Obama and company. He was not, you know, quote unquote, a political insider, right? So learn all that, right? So you learn, no, and so you're everything's outside, and that's why all that momentum he had, you know, when he took over the White House, no one will ever have that momentum. But you know, no one. I mean, the level of momentum, people forget about that in 2008, 2009, or whatever that was. And no one has that level of momentum. Like, shit, you can get it done, but learning how to, it took him 8 years, and maybe, you know, didn't get it all in to figure out that insider shit that he was not privy to, you know, how to navigate those lanes. And, you know, and he had a persona of challenge, you know, where he needed to be, you know, a negotiator, you know, and that wasn't the DNA, you know, at that time. You get better over time, but it was just block everywhere, his moves, right? Block, block, block.
Everywhere.
Because you didn't have no insight. And that's why, so we're playing the game from the outside in. You know, if you're playing tennis, mm-hmm. but you can't rush the net, and people just keep lobbing that shit where you can't rush the net, and two bounces later, you're, you know, you're lost, you're getting behind. You know, and then when you decide to rush the net, the momentum's been gone so long that you're worn out from just playing the back line forever. And then knowing how to finesse it. And someone told me, you know, a really respected person, you know, and because I was doubtful about being able to deal with all the insider stuff. And they said, no, I said, you know, still got melanin, you know. That has a way of figuring stuff out, right? You know, he was giving me the metaphysics on that, which is a lot deeper than what I just said. I weighed it, gave it a sack, and said, all right. I said, well, you know, maybe Michelle can help him out. Because remember, you know, she was going to have this huge role when she first, when he first got in the office for all kinds of assignments. That shit got blown up, right? She got new, you know, there was nothing coming from that window. That was the initial plan. If people look at the reports from then and what eventually turned out, light years different, because this light years different how it played out or what the expectation was. And so, you know, you're playing at a level of game you can't get in. You know, you look at, I always, you know, you look at, you know, these things that are just poignant, even though there's so many more examples, but like MLK, right? You know, and so when he's on the march, and he's looking to shift the agenda, you know, he's got, he has two emissaries of his, you know, John Lewis, you know, Anthony Young, right? And they're going up against the government, basically. Martin Washington or whatever it is, you know, got watered down. Malcolm X talked about that, but it's still, you know, still was a poignant place of, you know, pushing back all throughout the South, challenging, right? Challenging, relentless. And but it was always the adversary was the government. It was the system. It was the laws that were in place to try to change those. Right? That's the, that was who the adversary is. The adversary was also the same person who has been proven to be, to have their fingerprint on the rifle, right? I won't go specific there, but we know who had the fingerprint, right? And the thing again, the people who you're going against absorb you. Now you become 40-year congressmen, mayors, ambassadors to the same system that was, that killed your homeboy. Let me go back to the block type language. And no one sees that. You know, they honor the person for their service, but, you know, I couldn't imagine, MLK, ever imagining that these people in his circle were going to be politicians eventually. No way. No way. That's how this game is played. You know. And when you see these examples over and over again of how these things work out, and what did it change, right? If you go to the district of what these, of where people represent it, ask, how's that district doing? How's it doing? Is it prospering? So, all these layers are right there, self-evident. And so, you know, it's like Fred just kind of coined it, you know, with just the same old, basically, in so many ways, just different definitions of the same old, same old. Now, Herschel Walker is literally being considered for the Senate. I mean, that's just, but he is.
Even permit a guy like that to run? Come on, are you serious?
But see, it goes. But see, it goes back to the genre of how these jocks are used. But back to far, back to the Marcus Dupree slush fund. Hey, let's roll out Herschel, right? I mean, that's what this thing is. It's all in people's grills, but they still want to have this fantasy, which they're entitled to have, you know, of what this thing is really played out to be. And you're entitled to have it. I mean, no one here is, I'll speak for myself, because I can't do that part. And I'm not here to change anyone's disposition or their interest or what they want to get down with, support, put their money with. Not my place. But at some point in time, you tell the world who you are, who you invest in, who you support, and you run connectivity to it, you know, and we see this all the time. I mean, so Herschel, shit, he's getting his cut. Brett decided to get his cut. Anybody else out there waiting for theirs?
And I'll get you faulted. As I get you, I'll get you faulted. You see what's coming. You see what's coming. I mean, I've heard vitriol about Herschel Walker.
Comedy, man.
Why would you even be bothered? You know? Why would you even be bothered? But they do it anyway because they went their turn into the pot. They want to take their turn. And Tony, what do you think of the world of Wayne Herschel Walker saying, I'm not qualified, or Herschel Walker saying, damn all this shit, I just want my cut like everybody else.
To coin a phrase, Herschel Walker is exactly who we thought he was.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard Herschel say about AT Mac, what's that? When I heard Herschel talk about global warming, and he said that, you know, we need to take the clean air from Georgia and put the clean air in China. Cut the clean air from Georgia. We'll make the clean air from China better. And then we can take the trees from Georgia. That we can solve global warming.
Well, my standardized political test is usually it's with two TV screens. One TV screen has the three Stooges, and then the next screen has Herschel Walker. And the real fucked up thing is I couldn't tell the difference. And that's probably more scandalous for the Three Stooges than Herschel. But again, I think it just speaks more to where we're at political wise, and especially in the lovely state of Georgia.
You know what? I was talking to a group not long ago, and they brought up the Center for Herschel Walker. And they, you know, we sort of go back and forth, who went to the great schools and all this kind of stuff. But I said, I just spent another four minutes. somebody from Winston-Salem State that was as stupid as Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I started a movement to recall his diploma. You ain't no way.
That's embarrassing.
Ain't no way. I will him out as an example of somebody who, quote, supposedly graduated from my university, but then he has never proved that he graduated.
True.
And the reality is,
that's true.
I don't know what's wrong with the opposing senatorial candidate, because I know at least in North Carolina and most other states, diplomas are public record. Yeah.
That is true.
But it's a sad commentary on Georgia as a state in the United States, because, you know, we as black people can't recall him, or we can't take his black card if he ever had one. But you sure as hell shouldn't go out there trying to vote for him, because I wouldn't vote for him if he was the only one running.
Yeah,
I mean his own campaign. I mean, his quotes are just beyond comical, man. It's almost like, am I really watching this? Am I really actually hearing what I'm hearing? And that he's being considered as a viable candidate. I mean, interesting. But you know, when his own campaign said he lies like people breathe. They made a statement like he lies like people breathe. Like lying to him is as natural and fundamental as breathing.
Well. When you consider one of his influences is the former president, you know, then his master's taught him well, I guess.
More than that. Yeah, that goes back to the New Jersey general days, you know, but. Again, is this symptomatic of what we talk about, that lies behind the lines, how these jocks are just flat fucking pimped that the fuck out from day one, and they serve a greater purpose than just running the rock. They serve a greater purpose than this, you know, when they pop up on your advertising screens and all this other stuff. It's just not fictional.
True.
You know, and when you start weighing in,
I don't try to put everybody in the broad brush. I think, because even though the guys that, you know, have all their faculties and have done well since their playing days, the sad thing is, the very same people who are pushing Herschel are the same ones that behind his back are literally laughing. What's really sad is that no one in his camp, so to speak, you would think that someone like his wife or a good friend or whatever would take him to his side and say, don't you realize how bad you're being played? And that's the thing, because look, politics and all these other things that are about show and whatever, the exploitative nature, that's been there from day one. That's never changed, whether we were in bondage, not in bondage, or what have you. What's sad is that same, you know, they're still playing from that same, for lack of a better word, Willie Lynch playbook. The fact that that can still be used, because one of the reasons why there is such vitriol toward a Kaepernick, toward LeBron, or what have you, is that these guys have a mind of their own. And see, again, and maybe I'm taking it too far, but I think it needs to be said, one of the most heinous things that they always tried to do. They did, you know, they never wanted us to be educated. They never, they wanted to keep us, you know, drunk, dumb, stupid, what have you. And what's sad is Herschel is wearing that like a badge.
Yes, well, Herschel had his personalities for the long time. I mean, multiple personalities, because he had 8, 9, 10. So we don't know who the fuck we're talking to anyway, right? Because
exactly,
it's been well
exactly.
documented.
He's got
multi-personalities.
Like that.
So that's,
mm-hmm.
that, I mean,
yeah.
so that's basically, you know, someone may want to reach out to the MK Ultra language if they wanted to. I'm not, but he's been split many times, personality.
Exactly.
Documented, researched, well-studied. We don't know who we're looking at or who we're talking to because of the multi-personality complex. So that
exactly.
renders them bereft.
Like
all that, other stuff.
It's like that scene in the courtroom where the brother comes in and says, "Well, I have multiple personalities." Well, one of y'all is going to damn jail today.
That's right.
So
pick one out. Pick out who you want to be. Take your ass to jail. Yes.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But you know, it's that, you know, again, I think it speaks more of politics. I mean, yeah, you know, Herschel's out there. We all know. But again, it speaks to politics and where we're at, because remember, you know, it wasn't that long ago where the most prominent, you know, politician to come out of Georgia was Miss Abrams. And it was almost like, well, we can't have that. So they literally and figuratively grabbed any guy off the street, and he just so happened to be wearing a Georgia Bulldog jersey with a number 34 on it. That's basically the only, you know, that's again, it speaks to where politics is right now in this country.
Yeah.
Which doesn't speak very loud, unfortunately.
Way too loud for a lot of people's liking, because it's you know, look, for us as black folks, we all know, you know, the folks who died for us to even have the right to vote. And now it plays out like a real bad Saturday Night Live skit. And remember, they have our lives in their hand. That's the thing. That's the thing that's the mind boggling thing. I mean, you know, and maybe I'm going way too old school, but you know, I think a lot of us here have seen the movie or either know of the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the kind of ridicule and whatever he would be getting if he was around.
Well, at least somebody would ridicule him, because in this case, they're telling this man who every time he opens his mouth, he just sticks his feet further and further down in it. They're telling him, oh, you're the greatest. And
yeah.
He can't even carry on a decent conversation.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the folks in Georgia, but you know, in the words of Richard Pryor, you order shit, you eat shit.
Got that right.
Yep.
Patrick, you were around the Midget Generals at the time, all that hit the fan. Did anybody ever take Herschel Walker seriously when he was there as a player?
Well, first of all, good evening, fellas. Good talking with you. I was still in the Midwest at the time, but the residue of his legacy regarding this team still is out there. Unfortunately, it's not a good one, considering the guy who he followed. But yeah, I just concur with what everybody said about. About what Herschel Walker is and is not. Unfortunately, it's not more, far more than what he is. Just the sort of somebody of his aptitude having been in a position to be even in the same sentence of trying to run for senator for anything to represent any more himself is ridiculous at best.
Right.
It shows more about his party than anybody else.
It does. They're allowing this guy to get away with this. They're letting him stand up and represent the party as a candidate. They don't care about what kind of person he is.
He plays his role.
That's yeah, exactly.
He plays his role.
Plays his role. That's it.
Well, see this is another one of those steps that's out there that when I try to get across to people that so much of what we're seeing in politics over the last 4 to 5 years, especially with the inauguration of one Donald Trump a few years ago, so this is the same tactic. That the Germans used to get Hitler in and to keep him in. Everywhere you turned, there was a lie supporting an even bigger lie, supporting some smaller lies. But it was just a whole line of lies put out there, and people were pitted against each other. Over next to nothing, and they fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And then the next thing you know, you got concentration camps that really weren't there. You had trains going to the east. You had people being gassed. You had people being blown up by invisible planes. And then, you know, then somebody comes along and tells you some bunch of nonsense about trees in China to help, you know, whatever.
Clean air for Herschel Walker. The clean air rule for Herschel. The Georgia air to China. So the Georgia air can clean up the China air for Herschel.
Yeah, that's true. The crazy part of that is, if there is one, when it came to the Clean Air Act, he never seemed to know quite what it was.
No,
whatever it was, he didn't support it.
Right, that too.
It's not the government's place to manage the atmosphere and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Like that old Groucho Marx line, whatever it is, I'm against it.
Well, one thing you appreciate real fast when you go overseas that the United States has over other countries that's literally kind of taken for granted is the Environmental Protection Agency, that EPA. Because even though we may have some challenges of pollution, my goodness, you go to places like the Philippines and China, you might as well put 3 cigars in your mouth and start smoking them with that air. You know, I mean, everything was smoking. I was in Manila, you know, and they have these little motorcycle things, like 5 people on them at the same time, and then they have these passenger vans with 120 people are in there, where it looks like only 30 can fit in America. You know what I'm talking about? Everything's smoking. Everything's got exhaust and shit, right? And I was like, damn. I mean, so you were. You look around and people just look at you like, what's the problem? It's not like the problem is you. This is some fucking air. You know, exactly. I mean, so the United States, these people who come from overseas and come into the United States, and, you know, Gary knows about this, too. Maybe other people know. Here in Cali, we got smog checks, right? Where,
yeah,
you get a smog check for your car every 3 years. If that shit's smoking, you can't get, you know, your registration up. You got to fix it so you can get on the roadway. Now, does that prevent, you know, the number of car pollution? Of course not. It's still in the air. But without that, it would be beyond effed up. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
so, you know, EPA here in America, we got it. So when Hershey talks about some shit like that, and he doesn't even send in that most basic protocol of how he benefits with the EPA, you know, and more hilarious.
And Eric, it's almost as bad. Well, it's even as bad as the EPA is. We have in Jackson, Mississippi, where you have you don't even have drinking water.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that early on about Brett Favre boosting the money. Yeah, you know, people can't drink water in Jackson. I mean, it's another Flint, you know. But again, what's happened is those cities and areas that are predominantly black, they've already been targeted with poison water for years. They've been drinking that shit until it just got to a point of epidemic level. They've always had that lead-based water in it for them for many years. It didn't just all of a sudden, you know, all hit at once. It's just overwhelming now, right? But they've always been, unfortunately, poisoned, you know. And that's the word, poison with water. And that's municipal. That's not federal. That's not EPS municipal. That's how your city and state runs the money. But if they're funding plantation-looking volleyball complexes, you know?
Well, Eric, there's another, here in North Carolina, there's another similar scenario which occurred with the Marine Corps. From 53 to 87, 88, they were killing these guys, and it was fresh water. And the water didn't taste funny, and it didn't have color. Mm. Well, it turned out it was all of that. And a lot of these guys... federal state. He was a Marine Corps child.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up on this stuff, right? Now he hasn't been able to walk for 3, 8, and 10 years now. But he was good enough. He was an all conference tackle back in the late 80s, early 90s. But then when this stuff caught up with him about 5 or 6 years later, he started having problems with his equilibrium and so forth.
Yeah,
so at about 40, 45, between 40 and 45, he's on this, since he was 40, 45, he's been on one of those scooters, and it's been almost 10 years now.
Yeah,
you know,
vital organs,
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He has all kinds of
over time.
He has circulation problems with his legs and all kinds of stuff.
There it is, liver. You know, that water gets in the liver. It's the life force, man. I mean, and the thing is, these places, I mean, outside of military bases, they have that all the time. So I'll put my real estate hat on, right? If you buy raw land, I don't care where it is in the United States, right? You know, you want to buy some land, you got to go to build a property, whatever it may be, right? Or even if it's a business. And let's say, for example, there was a auto repair shop, you know, on that land, on that lot, right? And you want to build residential homes, you know, you got to do a soil sample. You got to test that fucking soil out to see if it's not contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic. You know, so if you got water supply issues in the chain and it's off, on, and it's leaking and it's discolored, many years they've been drinking that water. Many years they've been having that lead base. Many years they've been doing those certain things like that. So, you know, people have been imbibing on that for a long time. And like you said, they can go for a while where they transmit, but water gets everywhere. You know, that's a little bit different. And so, you know, what you see there is the fact that these areas are not, there's always these predominant black cities or outside military bases or things of that sort where the water is contaminated. Beverly Hills water doesn't have an issue.
Sure don't. And better not.
Don't have an issue. They'll pump that water from anywhere, like SoCal, you know, with the drought and everything, you know, West, Arizona, places like that, Utah, Lake Mead, right? You know, drying up. They finding bodies and shit where the mob was in Nevada, right? You know, because all of a sudden it's drying out and shit, and they finding canisters with bodies and, you know, gambling fucking shit, you know, the mobbed up people just throwing them in the lake and stuff, or, you know, they're coming to the surface because of the drought. They still can reroute the water a certain way. A place like Mississippi, I mean, I'm certain they have lakes and rivers, whatever, but, you know, if your municipals have been spent more time on hate and segregation and lack of education and suppression, everybody suffers. And in Flint, you know, that's not too far from the auto industry. Most of those people who were in Flint, the black folks who lived there, they worked in the auto industry. Majority of them were transplants from the South who went there to get jobs with Ford and Chrysler and all that shit like that. And so the pipes there, you have to really go into the pipes. And if you didn't use the right pipes, like copies of the right piping system, it's going to deteriorate. And then they're near the Great Lakes, so it ain't a water supply issue. It's how it's refined. That's all municipal.
And that's important, how it's refined. That's what they're doing here in Jersey. They're changing pipes all over Jersey because these pipes are 100 freaking years old, man.
There it is. And you have to, you know, because these things are self-corrected. Water can transmute, you know, that's not a problem, but how you move it through the system, it's been so much heinous hatred, you know, community and big industry and not caring about the environment. I've seen this one joint, you know, flash on TV real quickly as I was just, you know, flashing the channels. And this went back to, like, who's this dude? LaGuardia, when he was the mayor of New York, Fiorello LaGuardia, way back to the 20s. They named the airport after him, right? LaGuardia. He was the mayor. So these dudes were rolling over speakeasies and shit that had, you know, slot machines, one-armed bandits. Now, the gangsters had about a zillion slot machines, guns galore. They went out to, they took all the slot machines on this little tugboat, him and he was on the boat to LaGuardia, the mayor at the time, and he's got a sledgehammer, and they're sledgehammering all the slot machines. And all the guns, man, yo, I mean, shit, they had enough guns to load up the Chechen rebels, right, on this little tugboat. And they dumped all the guns and the friggin' slot machines into the river. Just dumped them into the river. And the commentary said these people were up on pollution back then. Well, out of sight, out of mind, right? You know, and so that's the intellect we're dealing with, you know, with the natural lack of, you know, help for the environment that you see there. So, you know, Dion talks about that all the time. How, you know, I mean, see, we ain't have water. We can take showers. He talked about for him to move water in his house on the first wave, not the most recent one. I guess where he lives, he has the pool. He has to use, the pool became his flushing device. You know, he had to go out and put the fucking water in the pool. And then, literally. Yep. And, you know, but it's all about Brett Favre boosting money, you know. So,
One thing
happened. He was able to get enough singles to go to the P-Valley experience pretty well, right? Because you had enough money to break off some singles and shit.
Pick a moment. In 5 years, we will see.
Mike, can I say this, Mike? What Brett Favre just did, and we knew even, we talked about it 2 months ago. Now, folks, he's jumping on it. Imagine him now having to go back to the Hall of Fame meeting and sit with them brothers.
That's right.
What kind of problems does Nick will have?
He's going. And Mofo ain't showing up. He's going to get shaken down. I mean, he gets shaken down up in there, man, because, you know, cats had a conscientiousness about the community.
And
you know,
the bunch of guys in there, they are.
He's robbing some babies. He's robbing some babies, man.
Yeah.
You know, anyone here ever do charity work or... You know, even give the homeless a dollar or something. I'm certain people have done something like that here. You know, I'm not going to speak of many things I've done in that environment. You know, and never looking for a kudo, right? Humanity shit. Right? Never looking for no, you know, high five or some award. Right? It's just basic humanity help.
They will be worrying about what they will be worrying about in 5 years.
I do it every Monday morning.
The concept of global warming, will ruin homes from coast to coast. out west right now, you've got homes that are sitting $500-$600 million. And there's no water, there's no home. Those homes will disappear and next to nothing. I'm not saying it's happening this year or next year, but in 2026 or thereabouts, any home on the West Coast is scraping for all different price tag because that home will no longer be allowed. West Coast homes are going to blow up as high as they can get, and then they're going to disappear because nobody can afford them. Unless they fix the water, they got to go. So what is that?
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that the earth yields resources known and unknown, you know. And, I mean, a person like Muammar Gaddafi went to Libya, and they called it the seventh world wonder with the water oasis he created in the Nubian desert, right? Arabs, they do it all the time. They convert desert into oasis because if you know how to pull from the underground water streams, which still exist, but the difference in the United States is not used for commerce.
Eric, still exists. Eric, is that called now called Dubai?
Yeah, right. And so, in other words, there's all these they're called aqueducts, right? Underwater aqueducts. Right, and the earth feeds this thing. So the topical level of the mainstream, the sky is falling. That's for those who live underneath that jurisdiction. But for those who know that it doesn't run out. It's how you control it through those aqueducts, which is happening right now all the time. Like if you go to places like we're in Northern California, like Calistoga, they have these natural geysers, right? That literally just shoot up from the sky. Very hot, warm temperatures, right? There was a time in Nevada where there was hotels that had these, and the guy told me, this old school cat who was in the game, where, you know, in the light, they had these places where they were just underwater geysers, right? Water for healing. And they have them late throughout Northern California. And this place you can go and do these things. So there's this tropical surface realm water, and there's these aqueducts that someone like Gaddafi with the money tapped into. Arabs, they do it all the time. They convert deserts into oasis, right, because of those aqueducts. So the earth is honeycombed with these things. It's just about developing and pushing them in. And there's people who know how to do that and know how to convert any water source and kind of transmute that, right? The only problem is when the sun doesn't shine. So, in other words, all the sky is falling shit, you know, I mean, none of those predictions stuff come right, right? It's just government control shit from municipals and money. And when California was suffering the water drought, it was about all these little water commissions controlling the water route, like little streams of water, and they're deciding where the water goes. But last I checked, the ocean, this planet is 70% water. Think about that for a second.
And the other part is covered by Gary Maddox.
And, yeah, right? 70% water, and we get this will be a water issue. Okay.
I got a question. Maybe Fred knows. Fred, do you know about the HBCU Go?
What?
Do you know about HBCU Go? It's called HBCU Go?
Yeah, that's the new channel.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That's part of what Byron Allen
is
spearheading some parts of that.
Yeah, he got all of it.
Yeah, he's ferreting it out to stations in, like, you know, New York, Philly, LA, Chicago, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already in some of the smaller cities, so this is giving them a bigger audience. And if you at least have the the if you have a fire stick, you can get it off of there. And apparently, there's other programming on there as well. He's incorporating it like he does with all of his
because he owns
I can watch Tennessee State play Jackson State and then Judge Maybelline at halftime.
Actually, they're supposed to show halftime at halftime, which is part of the HBCU culture. I tell the white schools, halftime, you got to go to the bathroom. You either go late second quarter, third quarter and go. You don't want to leave halftime.
Correct.
Halftime. You got a band out there that's playing March of the Wooden Soldier. They don't, you ain't gonna see that.
One thing he did have, but I give Byron Allen a chance to work with this, because he got some sponsors. Everybody from Walmart to Pizza Hut to Beta, he got some sponsors. So
he even has those. It was Medicare commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Basically,
are those the ones with Joe Namath pointing and belching at you?
No. Jimmy JJ Walker. Jimmy JJ Walker joint. But it's the Kid Dynamite joint. Byron's got game. I mean, he did when Irvin Johnson was recruited by big corporatocracy. What do brothers and sisters like with his, 24-hour fitness, his movie theaters, right? Applebee's and shit. He was allegedly bringing African American taste to corporatocracy. It's what they like, right? What they need to serve, at their places. I remember he was very proud to share that Applebee starts serving sour apple martinis, because that's what the brothers like, right? Yeah, exactly. But that was the moniker thing that he was putting together with those things. So Byron, Walmart, black folks love Walmart, right? And all these other organizations you talk about, those corporations know who's spending their money and where, and they'll get behind that, because HBCUs right now is this appetizer of the year. It's got this new attraction.
And from what I know, because I know guys trying to deal with some of it, there's going to be some name, likeness, and image money going some place. Let's see how much. From these corporations that join them. So we'll see.
Well, to that point, Patrick, we're still waiting. Well, we're still waiting for Michael Jordan, who pledged all this money to go to the black community. We're still waiting for his pledges to hit the street.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Apparently, Eric, that's going to be the same day that Dabo Sweeney retires.
Oh, okay.
That's a good
Tony.
That's a really good one.
Say, Tony, the same Dabelson who just got a $150 million contract?
Same
one? Okay.
It wouldn't have been so bad, but as he was signing it, his nose actually poked me in the eye while I was watching it. So,
Tony, what's worse, if his players get more than two pieces of bologna in a sandwich, he's going to think it's a violation.
Don't do as do as I say, not do as I do. Especially if you catch a check.
$150 million, huh, for a college coach?
And he is still underpaid compared to some of the other ones.
Well, Jimbo Fisher used to be number one, which is amazing.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher was number one. That is what's fucking amazing.
Well, that's the that again.
Way
to
go, Appalachian State.
Money.
Oh, Appalachian State. They
yes, Lord.
They gave Appalachian State $1.25 million to kick their ass. I love it.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes if you hang out long enough, sometimes you'll whatever. And see, it's again, it's funny because, you know, it's funny because, you know, people still just think App is just going to just show up and just get the money. They're coming there. They're coming there. You know, they got a couple of, they bring at least one can of whoop ass with them every time they get one of those games.
And guess what doing, Tony, guess what doing Saturday? You talk about it's a coincidence to get exposure to that school. Saturday, they're going to be ESPN game day featuring the whole university.
Look,
if you don't think that ain't going to draw, you're out of your mind.
Absolutely.
What university are they going to be at?
They're going to be at State. For 2 hours.
They're
going
to be in Boone. And the Commonwealth.
No,
of Boone,
I'm sorry. I still didn't get to college. Where are they going to be at?
Appalachian State.
Good for Appalachian State. Every year, I mean, they kick Michigan's ass, you know, 1 year or two. You know what I mean? And so I love that because, you know, Appalachia, you know, I mean, historically, just the name is poverty, right? Super poverty, Appalachia, right?
Yeah.
Right, the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, right? Come on. I mean, RFK went there. It was horrid. What do you think? To name a university after that and then to roll up into where's Texas A&M located? What's that? What city are they in?
College Station.
College Station. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. Now, they sell damn near more friggin' merch in Texas than Texas does.
Sure do.
Right? Ooh. Right, Pat? You know, I mean, so they're like huge in that state. And, you know, Sumlin got, you know, fucked over, but Jimbo was number one. I know if Saban eventually surpassed him before a while, Jimbo was sitting on the number one, you know, paid. And I'm like, Jimbo Fisher, have you ever had a 30-minute interview with this guy and ever came away impressed?
He sounds angry when he's happy.
You know, I mean, the day he put together a full paragraph of a constructive sentence.
Yep.
Please wait. It brings a new meaning to dangling participle. I'll just leave it at that.
That's rich. Dangling participle. Yeah, I mean, then he goes in on Saban. So, yeah, they paid Appalachian State $1.25 to come visit them, to play them, and Appalachian State destroyed their season. Real quick, man, what's the take on the brother at Notre Dame, man?
Let me tell you something, man.
I think he's in trouble.
Let me tell you something. He got a recruiting class already established coming in, already there now, trying to find
right.
a way. First of all, he needed to find a quarterback. That's the first thing. He got a tight end for his main wide receiver. That's the other problem. But they got to give the brother some time. And they'll do that because they know they can't do to him with what they do to Ty Willingham. They can't do that. They found out there was none of that. So they're going to get some time. But, yeah, he got, you know, people thought, best put by Paul Feinbaum when he said, well, before the season started, he said, how can someone actually think they know something about football? We'll put Notre Dame number 5. You can't. And I saw the same thing.
Well, look. The polls and all that other stuff are ridiculous because it's on reputation. You know, look how long. You know, think of what Clemson was. 100%. Yeah, think of what Clemson was before they quote unquote became a national power. They weren't even looked upon well in the ACC, let alone nationally. But you know, it's every year it's always, you know, Notre Dame, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. You know, it's the same folks, and even and you look at like the quote unquote mid majors, like say a USF or an App State, mm-hmm. so to speak. Or what have you? They always have to win like four or five times. You know, they have to win like maybe three or four or five bowl games before they'll even be considered to get other votes. And the minute they lose, and it's the same narrative. They don't play anybody. Well, it's kind of tough to play anybody when nobody wants to play.
Tony, you know something? My boy Joe Jowell said it best. He said there ain't a whole lot of people line up to play App State or North Dakota State.
Exactly.
They ain't lining up. And now
exactly.
more than ever, they're going to avoid App State even more.
Yeah, I mean Georgia Southern's another one of those type of schools, too.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Marshall,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
and Marshall,
yes.
Marshall's,
yes.
Marshall's always, yeah, Marshall's
yes.
always had a great one. I will share this. Regardless of optimism, Freeman will not survive a 2-10 season at Notre Dame.
It's going to be tough. I hate to say it, me personally, if there's a way that Notre Dame can go 0-13 and you can be 11-0, I would love it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Now, let's put it this way. I agree with Patrick to a certain extent. I think they'll – because I think you have to allow allow his kids.
You got to get
in there.
Good
point.
Now he can recruit. He can bring the players in, but 2-10 at Notre Dame won't fly. And the thing is that Ty Willingham had it popping, and they dogged him out. It reminds me of Nolan Richardson when he was at Arkansas. Right, Nolan ripped the shit in half.
Yeah.
Right, he tore it up. And then, you know, he talked about, you know, how it didn't work out, you know, contract, he got his right money, and he moved on. Then there was this one brother that had a hot run at one of these mid-major schools. It was a MAC school. It was a brother. Forgot his name. And then he took the Arkansas job.
Shaka Smart.
Not
Shaka. Mike Anderson.
You know who
Mike
I'm talking
Anderson.
About? There you go.
Mike Anderson.
There
he
you
was,
go.
It was before Mike.
Yes, his brother took the job before Mike. Mike came in afterwards, right? And because he had a hot run in the NCAA tournament. I think he coached at one of Ohio schools, like Toledo or one of those schools, got to the Sweet 16,
what's
right?
his name? Oh,
you,
God.
You see him,
I know
right?
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
Not Dave. Wasn't Dave Lato, was it?
No, not him. No,
Lito was in Chicago.
No, not Lito. Lito went to DePaul, yeah. I mean, of course we could Google him, look him up, but, you know, I'm not accessing that.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, but that brother, right? And he took that job, forgive me about what I call the Ty Willingham, Nolan Richardson protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he was going to be independent of their historic. That is some bullshit. You're not independent of that. Freeman can recruit. He's going to have to develop a coaching staff because the coaching ain't happening, man. I mean, their game plan, it sucks. And they've lost all three games he's coaching. Of course, the bowl game last year, he had to do the interim because Kelly bounced. And then, you know, they were competitive against OSU, right? You know, but the coaching, it did. Marshall was a letdown. And now everything implodes, too, because, you know, you still are kind of considered an outsider. And not an insider, no matter what. And now can you handle the internal pressure outside of just the misnomers? Okay, we're going to back and support you. Can you come up with a system? How do you handle the pressure as a first-year head coach with that much visibility on? I wish the brother, you know, a long career, you know, not anti, but right now, I mean, some real challenges to try to get to that 500.
Sure is.
Exactly.
Sure is.
Put it this way. The big question usually is, is he going to get the Kevin Sumlin treatment, or is he going to get the Willie Taggart treatment? And there's a slippery slope in either way.
Agree.
because you know, brothers don't get the same kind of rope
They get a rope. They get a rope though.
Yeah. They get the other rope. They get that other rope. You know, that's the one they get. But as a coach, I mean, literally, there. I mean, look. The sad thing is what Willie Jeffries went through in Wichita State. Sadly, it's still that mentality is still there. Whether it's Notre Dame, whether it's Florida State. Now think about this. Now this brother that took over for Scott Frost, who should have been fired 18 games ago.
Now think about it.
He's not only the first black football coach at Nebraska. He's the first head coach of anything in Nebraska,
which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this.
Remember, the N on Nebraska stands for knowledge. So that sort of tells you, you know, where they're going.
Where's the K? Where's the K? I mean, the K for knowledge, man. I mean, you know, the N. You know, I mean, Nebraska, I mean, it was known, you know, years ago, you better not be caught outside, you know, Nebraska U without some stuff, right? No brothers and sisters.
Actually, Eric, they got three Ks, but I didn't want to bring it up. So, you know.
Gotcha.
And guess what? And guess, Tony, here's the other side. I called some guy who's connected with the school on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Monday, really. I called him Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about him. I said, man, with all these guys they had at Nebraska, they ain't had no black coaches. Back when I first started hearing about Nebraska from Big Bob Brown and the track with Shade Green, all those guys, you had no brother nowhere? And he said, no, Patrick, that's part of the problem. I've been telling him for years. And that person I was talking to was a guy named Rich Glover, who was All-American.
And think about the guys that have been assistants there. First name that comes to mind to me is Turner Gill. Now, Turner Gill was the quarterback's coach there for a long time. He was the quarterback coach when they had Bobby Fraser, right?
Yes.
And you would have thought that he could have been the heir apparent to Dr. Tom Osborne. But he has to hear this.
He had to buy Congressman Osborne.
And go to Buffalo to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a pretty good job in Buffalo.
Yeah, did a damn good job in Buffalo.
Got him to a couple of bowl games and everything.
Yeah. He got the job in Kansas.
Put it this way. Recruiting for Buffalo football is sort of like being, you know, Don King, you know, barber in a sense. So it's like,
please.
And
Khalil Mack is asking you, what the fuck, Tony?
I'm just happy he's playing for San Diego because now the rest of the now the lower part of his body can finally fall off now.
You ain't wrong.
Go from Buffalo to Chicago to Oakland, and like geez.
San Diego. I mean, well, LA yeah, now. Yeah, LA. Yeah. He's in LA
now. He got some feeling in his toes for the first time since he was, you know,
I agree with you, man. I mean, that helped with those three sacks. Yes.
Let me tell you something. Now, we said this a couple of months ago. The hottest team in LA ain't the Chargers. It's the USC Trojans when they got the brothers that they paid for. My man told me that they did, man.
Boy, they came up, man.
Hey, the best.
Well,
team
you know what?
The
Trojans are a hot ticket. Always have been, especially when they're winning. The Reggie Bush era, they ran shit, right? You know, Matt Leinart and that crew. You know, Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. We was running it. They was pushing them through. I mean, they had it on lockdown there, right? And so, you know, this dude from Oklahoma, what's his coach's name again?
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley. I watched the Stanford game because I like Shaw, you know, from Stanford.
Good coach.
Yeah, he's a solid coach, you know. And then Emmitt Smith Jr., he played ball out there. You know, I mean, damn, he looks like Emmitt, but of course he's not Emmitt. He looks like Emmitt, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, SC got it popping, man. I mean, you know, they've always had the money. That ain't never been an issue.
Oh, sure. Liner, no truth to the rumor that Liner and Bush had to take pay cuts to become pros.
Reggie Bush, yeah, that what a story there, man.
Quite frankly, he fit right in now with the first team because he can be paid.
Reggie Bush at SC looked like shit. The video game running back that came to life the way he was falling down there, you know. But SC got it turned up, you know. And they got it turned up. You know, Chip Kelly's like on the 20th page for at UCLA because he's got it moving. And Riley's got an outstanding brand of offensive football, man.
Yes,
the way
he does,
they play,
man.
And the Pac-12's not used to seeing that kind of ball, you know. Oregon
They actually dabble in defense for a couple of quarters, so that's what we keep them in the games.
Yeah, that's next for SC, right? They got to turn up the defensive side a little bit, but they look in alignment to win the Pac-12 and be part of that bowl picture at the end of the year.
Yes, indeed.
They're just warming themselves up. They're just warming themselves up for the Big Ten.
They got the money to do it.
That's gonna be weird, man. That's gonna be weird. Yeah. Because the thing is, if play out the Big Ten, right? So if SC football wins the Big Ten and then they play, say, Arizona, basically they're going to be playing in the Rose Bowl, right? So if UCLA wins the Big Ten, they're going to be playing in their home stadium, the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they play, say, Oregon, who wins the Pac-12, it's basically a Pac-12 football game.
There's something sacrilegious about if I ever hear an announcer say, "Ladies and gentlemen, your Big Ten champion, University of Southern California."
It
speaks to where we're at especially college football, because it's bad enough that the Big Ten can't add, because they're basically going to be the Big 14 before this is all over with.
Well, the SEC is absurd, though. I mean, who would want to coach in the SEC? Now, if you're a basketball coach, forget football. If you're a basketball coach, right, and you got all those schools in your conference, that's one hell of a 7-8 game ledger.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That you
Absolutely.
Have to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The coach up against, man.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at Arkansas, well, no, we'll cancel Arkansas. So if you're at Vanderbilt, right?
If you're at Vanderbilt, that Vanderbilt, Austin.
Tennessee game?
Oklahoma.
Yeah. You're at Vanderbilt. You may have six games. Auburn, Kentucky, Arkansas, Florida,
Georgia,
Texas, Oklahoma. Solid conference turning.
All I want to know is who's the official airline of the SEC, because I want to buy stock. I want to buy stock in them like yesterday.
Well, I like what the Big 12's done, right? Because they've added Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida to the Big 12. I like that conference. I like how it's laid out. And then I like that conference, right? That's a kind of a cool, even for football, right? And if you look at the Pac-12, what makes the most sense for them is San Diego State and BYU to be added in.
Sure.
For the SoCal team. Not Fresno State. You know, that's an interesting university within itself, the city of Fresno. But San Diego State and BYU makes the most sense.
At least the road trips won't be quite as long.
Yeah, Rutgers and UCLA is going to be – that's not a natural rival.
Yeah, I talked to somebody. I did the first home game Saturday. We played Wagner. That was a scrimmage.
Rucker.
Yeah, and I was talking to assistant athletic director, a brother, we had a little conversation about what's going to happen with the road trips. He said, well, for basketball, it's going to be rough. He said, what they're looking at is having, like, taking two games, that we're taking a whole week off. Let's go out to California.
Hit UCLA, hit USC,
hit Nebraska, and come back home. He said, that's what it looked like so far.
What a deal. Like back in the Wooden era, right? In the John Wooden era, they would go to Washington and play Washington State, you know, and then head back. Go to Oregon, play Oregon State. So if you're coming from the West Coast, softball, tennis. I mean, if football and basketball at these schools, you're going to have a West Coast trip.
And guess what?
You're not going to return and come back.
And guess what? Women's volleyball is going to be a must. You hear me?
Volleyball
is going to be a must. Because all the Big Ten schools, them big white boys, they got 6'4", 6'5", we jump like brothers playing that game against them. Hey,
SoCal teams, they dominate that shit. Well, how about baseball? UCLA and SC got great baseball programs, right?
Leg today.
So they're going to go play Penn State and shit in 40-degree temperature. Get used to it.
It's happening.
Get used to it.
You know, and they will, because the check they're gonna pick up will make the difference. That's a big thing.
Oh, hell, they're gonna need it to put gas in the plane.
Literally, basically, that's a professional type schedule.
That's not collegiate.
Because all the HBCUs, they don't fly, they bus.
No. That's another 2-hour conversation in and of itself.
No lie.
We didn't
get to talk about in depth last week about the Florida A&M situation down there, and our president, I don't know what kind of drug he was on. Please,
boy, he, the more he opens his bridgeway, with no line, it's better to say nothing and assume that people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and leave no doubt. Well, he's left absolutely no doubt whatsoever.
Tony, you know what got me, Tony? The ban out of him. That was the killer. The ban out of him.
You know what? Again, you gotta love the 100 because they're gonna keep it real. They're gonna keep it real in that sense.
They went 13 hours on the same bus. They had to dress at the bus, you know, not respecting the women and whatnot. They wanted folks to perform at a function, then come back in a 13-hour bus and gave them a tuna sandwich. Come on, man. Stop that.
Wow. I think guys on death row get a better dinner than that.
Somewhere Jake Shuttlesworth is putting together a grilled cheese sandwich on a radiator.
that's
gourmet for FAMU.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And he's talking about, we're doing the best we can. And the dead
one. The best we can.
And the athletic director, here's the worst part. The guy he fired as the athletic director, guess where he's at now? The assistant athletic director at Tulane. Come on, man.
Good for him. Get a better job. Guess
where his certification staff is? Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
dude. They used to be in the MEAC office. There's still been no explanation why he was fired.
100%.
And would have loved to stay there, but you know, there's a local sports talk show here, and I'm going to send some information in the morning, because the questions they pose are, you know, what's happening, this happening, and stuff. We still have too many former coaches and academics in our sports temperament, sports entertainment business. They don't yeah. know it. They don't understand it, and they treat it like
an
extracurricular activity. And in the process, they make something. They look at $50,000. Well, that's a lot of money. How much are they going to make off of this game? Oh, $2 million. Are you sure? Okay. You got 50,000 seats. They're going to charge whatever and get $2 million, and most of it is going to be in the clear. So you're glad to take 50 grand, and they know you are, and if you won't, somebody else will. But
right.
at the same time, though, these people need to know what the value of their product is. So, you know,
50 grand, man. I mean, 50 grand. I mean, that's a school teacher's salary.
Man,
I mean, come on.
Well, that's lunch money. That's lunch money for
a
bad teacher.
That's probably for a team to fly, which Sam, you did from Tallahassee and back. They flew away. And, you know, they probably covered the plane. It's what, 600 miles. But, you know, there's still people out there who do not understand the value of the product.
100%.
And so they see
by design, you know,
that looks good. They see because one of the questions they posed this morning, and I haven't had a chance to address it, but a few years back, there was a very prominent coach who is the only person that I know of who coached a national championship and also played on a national championship team. He was fired. Correction. His contract was not renewed because he asked too many questions about did we get our check? Did we get our check? Did we get our check? Oh, yeah, we took it. It went through the administration. Okay, well, what about the basketball team?
I can see
administration's the black hole,
you know,
right?
It was $100,000 plus, but I think basketball got athletic got maybe a third or less, and then of that third or less, basketball got about half. So in essence, if you saw Deion this morning on his soapbox. He's right. The people who go out and bust their butts and get beat up and you know, have to go through all that athletes who travel have to go through, it's not fair for them not to get more than the rest. I mean, I have no problem giving any fortune to academia. But see, there's so much money that comes into academia that you can't use in athletics at all. Some from the state, some from, you know, some of the pledges and stuff that come in and the gifts that come in. They're very specific. You put it in the wrong place. You need to go into jail or give them these people their money back. You don't want to get caught up in that kind of nonsense. But there again, people who don't know the business side of athletics, they treat it like an extracurricular
activity. Many don't, and that's the majority. I mean, that's the majority. If you look at this, always is fascinating. If you look at an NBA. Book in terms of program, right, in terms of the basketball side and the business side, right? I mean, there's way more employees on the business side of every NBA franchise than it is on the basketball side.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm aware. And basketball only has 15 pieces of merchandise called players. That's light. That's very light. 15, man. But you look at all the MFers getting employed, vice president of operations, vice president of marketing, vice president of ticket sales operations. I mean,
Eric,
a slew of employees
Eric,
on that side.
Eric,
yes.
And not including the junior executives.
Yeah, and all the ownership, and the ownership groups, right?
Vice president,
the 15 players.
Vice president,
you need, 200 mofos. You need 300 mofos in the front office for 15 players.
Yes,
you do, Lord.
You're forgetting the team's marketing director. Or director of marketing, followed by his staff.
Yeah, yeah. The junior executives.
Exactly.
But the business piece, because of the money coming in, even they've been hoping that the CFO, the whole financial structure, the real power move in any NBA organization.
Yes.
It ain't the VP of basketball operations. He's the chief financial officer.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the one who can sit there brazenly and write Scottie Pippen a $200,000 check every 2 weeks, which is like probably what's more than that, right? So where's what bank account is that coming from? You better have someone in that guy who's got the brains, man. You ain't have no dummies. So these HBCU negotiating a $300,000 get your ass kicked contract to play a D1 school, lose four players, it's damn near tragic injuries. The other staff is beat up because where they get destroyed is the trenches. Because they can't match that size that they're facing against, and they get destroyed. You got a guy that, you know, who's playing offensive guard for one of these smaller HBCUs, and his training diet was Whoppers.
Yep.
Going against someone on a dietary law. You look at LSU's program, just Google LSU's, you know, football dining room. Shit. I mean, they eat better than, you know, I mean, come on, man.
And Eric, it's 24 hours now.
Yeah. I mean, and they have a $28 million training facility, and you're going to roll your team out there who's changing in the street to go face that? I mean, you got to protect your – I mean, rule one of any coach at any level of sport, is creating the facilities, the environment that's going to engender, you know, safety for your athletes, right? So you got to have the right equipment, right? The right gymnasium shit. You got to have all of that. Witten would spend the first practices every time it's new recruits. They couldn't wait to hear this Wizard of Westwood. He's telling them how to wear their socks. You know what I mean? Coach McLinden would sit down and ask them four questions. Who are you? What are you? Where are you going? And how do you plan to get there? You know what I mean? The motherfuckers had to spend their whole damn fucking three practices pondering that shit before they roll out the ball. You know what I'm saying? You know?
That's
and these guys nowadays and shit are just like taking these contracts and these ADs to go out there and get shredded, you know, by these larger schools, and they're going to be merciless because they see the name Grambling. You know, they see that history. You know, like when Deion talks about, you know, well, we don't tradition, we don't want to play the classics, we don't want to do the thing like this. We're from a different era, we do things differently, this, that, and the other. That's fine. But they see Walter Payton before they see you from the historical.
Well, Eric,
Eric,
when he first got here, among my first arguments was that lie he told about having the greatest recruiting class of all time. My first question was, so he has a team that has three Pro Football Hall of Famers on. Well, no, he probably doesn't have that, so then he doesn't have the greatest of all time.
The best recruiting class, correct. You know,
and that's
pop culture stuff. Yeah.
See, you know, that's I call it the ESPN syndrome. Nothing happened before the ESPN counts or anything. I said, no. We'll prove it. Okay. You have Walter Payton, you have Jackie Slater, and you have the killer, Mr. Brazil.
Right.
They were on the same team 2 years. They did? Yes, they did. and we haven't mentioned Leon Gray and a couple other guys, Wilson, a couple other guys, you know, that possibly should all be at least considered for the Hall of Fame. Well, maybe they're not that good. Are you kidding? But you know, what have you been sipping? I know it wasn't blue, because blue, you know,
well,
who's the man?
Well, correct. And if you total the number of, let alone Hall of Famers, which is landmark, obviously, but if you just total the number of NFLers from that roster,
oh,
you know, I mean, there was a gang of NFLers. I mean, Tennessee State, I remember the years I was at Denton, these guys went to the Hall of Fame, right? But there was at least like 15, 16 cats from that era I was around that went to the NFL, you know?
My boy, 15 on one team.
Yeah,
I'm going to date myself, Eric, Tennessee State.
Yeah,
my boy Tricky Joe Jones.
Yeah, you know, right.